PFW's 48th anniversary celebration. Details at wpfwfm.org.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, "I support jazz and justice," without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at wpfwfm.org. Again, that's wpfwfm.org.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name's Garland Nixon on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. My main man, Kalia, is in the studio. He's the brains behind this operation. Everybody, mad props to Kalia. He's the one that makes this situation happen. And when you call in at 202-588-0893, that's 202-588-0893. Kalia will be answering the phone. And as always, don't forget, when you talk to Kalia, there is a 10-minute delay. That's 10 second delay. That's very important because when you hold on to the phone to your ear, when you're waiting for me, you won't have the delay. But if you set it down and you listen to the radio, the delay's there and I'll be calling for you and you won't hear me for 10 seconds. So if you call in and you're on hold, keep the phone close to your ear and turn the radio down in the background. 202-588-0893. Plenty to talk about as usual. One of the things that we're, make sure you can still hear me fine, but yeah, still good. Okay. One of the big issues right now we have, oh my gosh, we have a triumvirate of complete and total absurdities. A triple crown. How far can I keep going? Of things that really need to be addressed, that need to be some kind of a deal made. And the odds of us getting a deal or getting out of any of them, none of them are good. Let's start here with the one. We'll start at the top and run our way down the top three right now. Number one, you got the Ukraine conflict. Well, if you're a Democrat, you're probably like, oh, we must move forward with this war. Go NATO for now. But as I said, 5 years from now, trust me on this one. I've been through this with weapons of mass destruction. I've been through this war after war. While the war is going on, you'll go along and say the CIA is not lying to me. They're telling me the truth. The Russians are evil and they've done terrible things. And the government's just standing up for dignity and democracy and the old things good, right? 5 years later, you'll go, you know, I think I've been had. There were no weapons of mass destruction. It happens every single time. So those who are still standing around saying, oh, the Russians have done something terrible and we're just standing up for democracy, I'll give you your 5-year cushion because 5 years from now, you're going to go, you know, Garland, perhaps 5 years ago, you were right. I'll give you your 5 years. You deserve it. You've earned it. You get your 5 years, right? But I'm going to live in the world of reality. Here's the world of reality. The United States is in deep and serious trouble because they started a war in Ukraine with the intent of destabilizing and overthrowing Russia. That's what Ukraine was about. The United States and the CIA have been in there since the 50s. The 50s. Overthrew the government in 2014, started building up the war machine. Ha, ha, ha. We're going to start a war against Russia, and then we'll destabilize Russia with lots and lots of 20,000. I think it was somewhere between 18 and 26,000 sanctions, and Russia will be destabilized, and oh, we'll take Russia, we'll put in a puppet government and get all those wonderful resources. Well, I don't know how much you know about the history of Russia. You might want to call Charles XII, Napoleon, and Hitler, and even the Crimean War, the French and the Brits. Starting wars against Russia never works out well because they always win. But at any rate, as usual, you know, the West, like, we're going to, every 100 years or so, we got to go in and attack Russia. And now, here's where we are. The United States is dealing with a catastrophic loss. It is a catastrophic loss. They started a war against Russia, and now it's lost. There's no hope of winning of anybody. In fact, let me just say this. Barack Obama said it. Barack Obama said that he would not send arms to Ukraine. And you know why he said he wouldn't? He said, because the Russians will always have escalatory dominance. They didn't start sending arms to Ukraine until Barack Obama got out, heavy arms to Ukraine until Obama got out of office and Trump got in office. That's when they started. Obama wouldn't do it. Because Obama, for all I may have against his foreign policy, he was no idiot. And Obama knew if we start sending weapons to the Ukrainian border, to the Russian border in Ukraine, the Russians are going to knock the crap out of them. And as he said, they have escalatory dominance. You ain't beating the Russians on the Russian border. History tells us that, right? Well, Biden just couldn't help. We had to have Russia. Off goes the war. And here we sit 3 years later with a catastrophic loss. There's no way. There's nothing to do. So now Donald Trump is in office. Donald Trump is trying to get some kind of a deal. But let me ask you this. How do you get a deal when you've lost? You see, here's the problem. The Russians don't need a deal. The Russians can keep fighting because they're winning. I've been saying it ever since the beginning. Guys, there's no possibility Ukraine wins that. Oh, no, the Russians are surely going to lose. Why, they're evil. The Democrats, oh, yeah, I've got on a blue and yellow hat. That means they're going to win. Look, ride around. Haven't you been to Walmart? Look at every corporation. Every Hollywood movie has blue and yellow. I call it blue-ello, the color of propaganda. Ride around town. Go in a store. Go in Walmart, wherever. And you know what you'll see? Blue and yellow, that light blue and yellow, the colors of the Ukrainian flag. Corporations are great with propaganda, and the propaganda is everywhere. The problem is this, that ain't doing what do you no good against the Russian army. You're going to get smushed. And right now, the Ukrainian army is getting smushed. And the U.S. government is trying to find a way out. And there's no way out. It is a catastrophic loss. There's nothing to be done but escalate to nuclear war and we all die. That's an option. You could go say, hey, Russia, we'll go to nuclear war with you and we'll all die so that you don't get Eastern Ukraine. I mean, in all honesty, I'm just going to throw a logic because there's three different things that I'm going to address, but I'm going to throw some logic at you for 1 minute, okay? Just some logic at you. What we're supposed to believe is that the Western Ukrainians, the Kiev government, wants to bring Eastern Ukraine back and wants to bring Crimea back into Ukraine. That's what we're supposed to believe. But here's the problem. Eastern Ukraine and Crimea are Russian speakers. They're Russian ethnic people. They're Russians. They don't want to be with Eastern Ukraine. They want to be Russian. But let me add this. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, for one moment, I'll give it to you. Okay. Let's just say for 1 second, the Eastern Ukrainians and the Crimeans come back into Russia. Number one, they speak Russian. Oh, but wait a minute, the Kiev government has literally outlawed the speaking of Russian. Oh, well, wait a minute, they worship as Russian Orthodox Christians. Ah, wait a minute, the Kiev government has outlawed the Russian Orthodox Church. So I'm supposed to believe that the government in Kiev under Zelensky wants to bring in millions of Eastern Ukrainians who speak Russian, who identify as Russian, who worship Russian Orthodox, even though they've outlawed all of those things. And of course, then, since it's a democracy, they'll be allowed to vote, but they're all going to vote together for a pro-Russian candidate. And I'm supposed to believe that the Kiev puppet government of the United States, which is not a government at all, I mean, the U.S. puts in a puppet government, we can't call it a government, it's a mess. It's a mess. And that's the kind of mess you get when you go messing around on the border of another superpower. When the United States goes to Ukraine, we're going to overthrow the government of Ukraine. We're going to use the Ukrainian nation as a bludgeon to beat Russia up with. It ain't going to work out. And that's where we sit now. That's where we are. The Trump people are trying to get a deal, but there really ain't no deal to be had because the Russians don't need a deal. If you're winning the fight, do you really need a deal? The bottom line is, the Russians said early, we will achieve our goals either through diplomacy or through force of arms. And now they will achieve their goals one of those two ways. So there's no way to get a deal unless you just say, well, you can have everything you ask for, because they're going to get it all anyway. Now, next, I'm going to go to China and the bonehead craziness that may not be as boneheaded and crazy as it seems. There may be a devious, diabolical, and sinister plan afoot here that is pretty bad. Ain't going to work out good for you or me, and I'm going to reveal it in a few minutes. But the first thing I'm going to do is go to my first caller. First caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany, man.
Talk to me, Brother Rick.
I think America and Russia are going to go at it, and very soon.
What do you mean, go at it?
I mean conventional war that leads to nuclear war.
I don't think that's going to happen. What makes you think? But why do you say that? Why do you think it's going to happen?
Because America needs a boogeyman to distract the white supremacists, the chickens at home who want civil war. The only way to distract them is to send them to war abroad. And that war will result in nuclear war.
Well, I will agree with you that if the United States and Russia went to war, it would result in a nuclear war and we would all die. But I think they got a devious plan to get out from under that still ain't going to work out for us. And I think it involves China, and I think it involves these tariffs. I think these tariffs are a economic war on China that's going to destroy the economy both in the United States and in the EU. What do you think?
I think you're singing a song that many Europeans don't want to hear right now. But, you know, I'm watching the situation in Israel with Gaza and the situation with Iran. Mm-hmm. And Russia and China will back Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And America will not lose face over Israel. But I think it's going to come to war, man. Conventional war and then nuclear war.
I'll say this. If the major powers did get into a conflict, I agree with you, it would go to nuclear war and we'd all be dead in probably days. But let's hope it doesn't come from that. But I got a lot more to say about China. I think we got another call. I got a lot more to say about the China tariffs in a moment. But I'm going to take this call, then I'm going to make a statement on the China tariffs, then I'm going to take some more calls. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Mike from District, brother.
Hey, my main man, Mike. What's up, bro?
You know, I gotta agree with you, brother. I don't know why people think that this country is going to go war to war with Russia, because it does mean nuclear war. Russia's a nuclear power. That's never going to happen. They know the full result of that. So you notice that any country that has nuclear weapons, this country don't want to mess with them. So, yeah, I gotta agree with you on that one. And, you know, I want to ask you, who would you say was the leader of the Democratic Party right now?
Look, the same people that led it all along, the billionaire donors. The billionaire donors. There ain't no Democratic Party as far as it's not even a political party. It's just a puppet system, as both of the parties are. If I had to choose somebody, maybe Benjamin Netanyahu.
You know what? This thing, for some reason, they really pissed off with Jasmine Crockett. Nobody was a Republican the wrong way like her. I mean, you listen to all the conservative radio, they attack this young sister non-left, but yet they comment on how good-looking she is. She is good-looking, though. I give credit where credit is due. But,
she is
like the boogeyman. They call her the leader of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the game. And that is, we're always like, the Democrats or say like, they'll give us somebody to hate, right? Like when Biden was in, we were like, hey, are y'all gonna do anything for us? They was like, we can't. We were like, why? They were like, cinema and mansion. And we were like, oh, well, but they're Democrats. Yeah, but they're evil, right? And then the Republicans, it may be AOC. And then the Democrats, it's going to be Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's like they always feed us a name, a villain for us to be mad at, so we don't look behind the curtain. And we're so busy looking at Marjorie Taylor Greene or Jasmine Crockett or whoever that we forget that the people behind the curtain yanking the strings are calling the shots. What do you think?
Yes. And you're absolutely right about that. You get no argument here. You know, another thing that I keep hearing on black radio is this concept of, I guess the boogeyman is supposed to be Black MAGA right now. Because this whole thing that you're supposed to hate Black MAGA. I look at it this way. If a black person has the ears of a president from the Democrat or Republican Party, and they're not using their influence to do something to help their people, then they deserve to be called out. And that goes for blacks in both of these parties that has the ears of the president. Because the ones that had the ears when Biden was in office, they didn't do no difference to try to help the black race out, you know, because of the fear that they have of their little white counterparts. You know, if they say anything to help the black community, then they probably get attacked. It's just like this thing with the black museums. Like when Trump going out to the black museum, you would think that a black MAGA would say, you know, you had a lot of black people that did vote for you. And you know, by going out to the black museums, that you are going to offend the black community. And Black MAGA, I know you're in the White House right now listening to this. You should be saying that to President Trump right now. And this is the problem, Garland, that I have with our own people. I'm not talking about other races. I'm talking about our race right now. We have a moral obligation to call out blacks who is in the White House and not using their position to help their people, from the Democrats and in the Republican Party. And if they're not doing their job, then they need to be called out as the gutless hypocrite cowards that they are, because they are cowards as far as I'm concerned. But we're still engaging with our people with this Democrat versus Republican nonsense. We don't see beyond that. Other ethnic groups does see that. They got their man either in the Democrat, Republican, or Independent looking out for the best interests of their own people. That's smart. I don't have a problem with them doing that. But the only ones that don't understand that is our people. Because we're still involved in this Democrat versus Republican Party show. It is nothing but a show. That's all it's always been.
Let me take a different perspective. All right, I'll get your thoughts. A little different perspective, but I see where you're coming with, and it's not unreasonable. But here's my thoughts. If I'm out in the field picking cotton, and I have any expectation that the house slave is going to help me out or stand up for me, I need to wake up. Because the house slave is generally in there looking out for themselves. They're getting their extra butter bill.
That's why they need to be called out when they do that.
And so if I'm like, hey, I don't have an expectation that the person on the inside is going to help me, that the so-called blacklist misleadership class, I gave up. I don't have a thought or expectation. Let me give you an example right now, okay? Right now. They're going out here and Musk and these people are firing all of these federal employees. And if you listen to this show, what did I say? A couple, they're saying, we've got to save money. I said, I'm going to guarantee you one thing. They will increase the defense budget by more, by a greater number than they so-called saved by firing all these federal employees, right? Guess what? They are now saying they're going to increase the defense budget by $130 billion.
Well, I'm not surprised at that.
Here's my point. If I'm a senator, if I'm a Democrat in the Senate right now, I say, you know what? I will freeze everything up. Hire all of these federal employees back. There is no way that defense budget is going through, because senators can block stuff, can stop it and all that. And if there's three black senators, I'm going to get them together and say, look, y'all, here's the deal. We're going to block and stop that defense budget. Let me finish. I'm going to say we're going to block that defense budget. It ain't going through unless you hire every federal employee back. Don't tell me you're saving money on federal employees when you're going to increase the defense budget by more money than that. That's what I'm going to do. I don't see a Democrat or a Republican. You know what they're doing? They're jumping up and down, clapping. Yay, Trump, you're increasing the defense budget. Hooray. They all going to vote for that, because that's where their masters and their donors give them money from, the military industrial complex. They are forgetting all these federal workers that need them to stand up for them. They ain't going to stand up for them. And that's why I'm not a Democrat or Republican. They make me sick. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, they make me sick also, but I'm still gonna hold my position. If a black person in there got the ears of a president, they still have an obligation to try to help their people. And if they don't help them, then they need to be called out for the jokes and hypocrites that they are. And speaking of hypocrites,
all right, well, I got to run. We got a couple more calls, Mike. But thank you very much. I appreciate you listening and calling every week. Yeah, that's my point. You're going to stand there. You're in Congress, and you're going to let them fire all of these federal employees, and then increase the defense, so-called the Pentagon budget, by $133 billion. And you're not going to say, you're not going to do it. We're not passing that. Where are the Democrats? They got enough. We're not passing that. We're going to filibuster it in the Senate. You're going to hire back every one of those employees, or you ain't getting your defense budget. And let me tell you something. As bad as they want their defense budget, they'd hire them all back. But the Democrats ain't going to do that. They're not going, they don't stand for that. I wish I was in a Senate, because I'd be screaming at the top of my lungs, every one of them. I'd bring federal employees out if I could by the hundreds of thousands and say, let's stand here and let these senators know we're not supporting them. We're not voting for them. We're standing against them if they don't stand for us. It's pathetic. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hi, it's Pam calling from D.C., Garland.
What's happening, Pam?
Garland, there once upon a time, there was a queen named Marie Antoinette who famously said, let them eat cake.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what fate befell her. Do you anticipate a similar fate may befall this group?
Well, let me say this, and I think this is important, Ben. Because I didn't get to talk about a little bit about these so-called tariffs. And they said, oh, we're going to do tariffs on everybody. And then a couple of days later, okay, we're only doing them on China. This is intentional. This is intentional. They are going to wreck the economy. They know the economy was going to crash anyway. So I guess they figured we'll just wreck it now. We don't like China. We'll go after China. We'll wreck the economy. And then we'll blame it on China. Instead of the fact that it was going to fall apart anyway, I believe this is deliberate. Look, if I can figure out that putting 100% chance, I don't have any, my training is in law. I don't have any training in economics to speak of. If I can say, well, gee, 100% tariffs on China, that's gonna wipe out our economy. If Garland can figure it out and you can figure it out, don't tell me that the Democrats, Republicans, and everybody up there on Capitol Hill can't figure it out. They know it, which tells me this, their intent. At this point, they're going to do what they do. In 2008, they wiped out the economy. Just before COVID, the economy wiped out. And what did they do? They wipe out the economy. They come in, and what happens? All the assets, all the real estate are worthless. They buy it for pennies on the dollar. And then when the economy comes back up, they own even more than they did. Who's going to get wiped out by cutting everything off from China? Small businesses. They're going to get wiped out. You know what they'll do? Walmart and Amazon will be like, we're losing money. They'll give them buyouts. They buy out the big companies. They bail out the big companies. But if you got a little company that's dealing with Chinese goods, they ain't buying you out. The small businesses will go out. The big companies will get bailed out, and they'll wipe out our economy like they always do. It is intentional. It's always intentional. Anyway, go ahead, Pam.
Yes, it's very intentional. And again, you know, I made the analogy about Marie Antoinette and her people, you know, eventually revolted. I mean, that was the catalyst for the French Revolution. And again, you know, we know what fate befell her and her her royal court.
Let me ask you this, Ben. I something I worry about, and that is, in a way, I think Americans are too brainwashed to revolt. You know what I mean? I mean, look, you got one group of people that turns on Fox News to tell them what to think, and they repeat everything they hear on Fox News. You got another group of people that turn on MSNBC or CNN and have the same wealthy, rich folks, that the same donors, the same advertisers paying for that, and they tell them what to think. How are people going to revolt if they think that either the rich people on Fox News or the rich people on MSNBC are telling them what to think? They're going to tell them not to revolt. You know what they're going to tell them? To beat the heck out of each other, of the working class, each other. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I always say that you and I must have been separated at birth. We're certainly we're Siamese twins because we think so much alike. So, yeah, I agree totally. Yeah, they're sheeple. People have become sheeple.
Yeah, and they're going out buying guns. You know what people are like? Yes, I'm buying my guns for a revolution. The government's not going to disarm you. The government does not have to physically disarm you. They've intellectually disarmed you. They've morally disarmed you by committing a genocide, and you got you out in the street complaining about everything but the genocide. I'm not saying you know what I mean, Pam. But I'm saying you don't. That you got a gun, you don't even know where to point it. You're pointing it at your feet. You're shooting yourself in the foot every time you turn around. So they ain't worried about people with guns because the people with guns have been mentally, intellectually, and morally disarmed. That gun ain't gonna do them. The only thing they'll do with that gun is shoot their best friend or some guy that's walking, stumbling at the front door at night, knocking, looking for help because his car broke down.
Yeah, or their neighbor. You're right.
The girlfriend, the neighbor, their boyfriend, somebody mad at because they're drunk, they'll shoot them. They ain't pointing at nobody, man. So they ain't worried. They'll give you an extra gun and tell you, go ahead and shoot each other up.
It's the dumbing down of the population. Yes, absolutely. Yep. All right, darling.
All right. Thank you very much. Pam and I, we're almost Siamese twins. Good thing we ain't too close. We might stick together. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's going on, Garland? It's Max calling from Maryland.
Oh, Max, man, the show doesn't even start until you get, you know, I used to have a buddy of mine, and he used to be late when we were hanging out, you know, going to the bars and partying and stuff when we were younger. And I'd always say, come on, man, hurry up. He'd say, the party don't start till we get there. So what's happening, Max?
I know what you mean. So, kind of a few things I want to talk about. So, like, with the tariff, right? Don't you think, though, that, like, because I know you kind of said, like, don't you think the tariff can kind of be uniquely kind of put on, like, Trump and his cabinet, that that's a unique kind of Trump? I mean, Biden had tariff, but this across-the-board kind of tariff thing, it does kind of seem uniquely this current executive branch.
Well, I'll say this. If you remember, Trump started the tariffs his last time, and he put these tariffs on China, if you remember, and then Biden came in, and Biden increased them. They didn't go. See, that's the thing. The Republican comes in and they do the massive taxes for the rich. And then the Democrats come in and they either don't get rid of them or just pretend they didn't see them. So now Trump's doing this tariff thing, right? I think it's about two things. Number one, I do believe it's deliberate to tank the economy. I also believe this, that the Trump wing of the ruling elite, they want to dramatically think about this. Let me throw this at you. Trump's tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts, which all tax cuts always go to the rich, right? These tax cuts end on the 31st of this year, and they don't want them to end. So they're figuring a way to bring in more money. So the money comes in and they don't have to get rid of the Trump tax cuts because they already know we're up to our ears in debt. So I really think there's a number of things, not the least of which being they want to bring in more money so they can keep their tax cuts for the rich. And might I add, Trump wants even more tax cuts, which he'll get through because he'll find two or three Democrats that'll vote for it and get it through. But at any rate, your thoughts on that?
I'm there. I'm back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Matt, running out of mouth and I lost you, Max. But at any rate, my point is, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. So I think they will tank the economy. I think that part of it is they are intended, again, to tank the economy so that the billionaire class can buy things for pennies on a dollar and then bring it back up like they. The best thing that ever happened to the rich people is 2008 is COVID. Every time the stock market tanks and the price of real estate tanks, they come in and buy it for pennies on a dollar. And then when everything goes back up, they got all the assets again, and we get poorer and poorer. So I do think there's some nefarious intent here, Max. What do you think?
No, I 100% agree. I always said, like, once if Trump gets back in, now that it's term two, it's like it's going to be an intentional recession. I think that's all. Like, I think that's what the tariffs. I think that's what the tariffs are honestly all about. I guess different from like kind of like Biden, I just think Trump's like doing all these global tariffs. Obviously he suspended some of them, but now he's doing more. And I do think he really is like Trump is really really like taking it to like China. Like it's weird because even though like I have issues with China's government, the more I've looked into their government, I'm actually like, you know, people will say the bad things about their government, but it definitely does seem like China's government has an invested interest in the growth of their country. And in the, you know, like they actually, even if they are, like people claim, dictatorial, the economy still continues to get better. The people's standard of living does. I mean,
I got a question for you, Max. I got a question for you, Max, a serious question. When somebody says, okay, China is dictatorial or their leaders are dictators, somebody makes that statement, I don't know what it means, but let me ask you a question. The polls consistently show that 90%, some polls, 95% of the people in China approve of their government. So here's my point. If you got a country that took 800 million people out of poverty in like 20 years, that's never been done before in history. The people's lives have materially improved. It was one of the poorest countries in the world 50 years ago, and now it's one of the richest. So the people in China are like, yeah, we love our government. They've improved our life. What really grounds does the United States have to look at a country where 90% of the people approve of their government? What right do we have to disparage the government when the people there love their government? You get the last word, Max. We got a couple more calls. Your thoughts on that?
No, I totally agree on that. I definitely agree with you there. And I guess my final question for you, I agree with you on returning the government workers. I like that you brought that up today. How do you feel about Trump trying to deport people to prisons, not just expedited removals, but deporting them to prisons? And then specifically the man in El Salvador that the Supreme Court just ruled has to be returned to Maryland.
You know what? When we started that crap, what was it called? Extraordinary Rendition, back under Bush, right? And then Obama had his Tuesday kill list where we could kill American citizens because they were on a terror list. As a country, president after president, having continued to increase the power of the executive to get where we are today. This didn't just happen today. This is what happens when you keep putting more and more power in the hands of the president. This is where you end up, Max. All right. Thanks a lot. Got to run. We got other callers. Thanks. I really appreciate Max. Max is a big part of the show here. And Max and I used to fight like cats and dogs. And now look at this. We've become the best of friends. Let that be a lesson to people who are watching. Not a lesson, an example. Just because people don't agree, don't mean they can't become friends. And it doesn't mean they can't talk and find areas where they do agree. It doesn't mean we're enemies. Stop letting the ruling elite tell you to dislike somebody or hate somebody simply because they vote different than you. They think different from you. They have a different ideology. That advantages the ruling elite. As working class people, as regular old people, we need to stand together and find ways to connect. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes. Hi, my name is Cassandra. I live actually in Montgomery County, but I'm up at Frederick visiting a relative. However, they don't have a station here where I can listen to you all on the radio. But I was talking to a Haitian girl, young lady, and she finished Maryland University and got her degree in nursing and all kinds of medical fields. And she was telling me that they have gold. And the reason why that war is going on because Biden and Obama and them is involved with it. That's why he got all those Kenyan troops over there as a diversion to steal their gold. I'm like, what?
Oh, well, that's you know what? And that's the case that so many Americans don't understand, that we'll see a war in a country or we'll see a conflict in the country. And we're like, oh, what's going on in that country? More often than not, the U.S. and or England is over there meddling in there so they can steal their gold or their uranium or their cobalt or their oil. They got something that we want, and we're over there abusing and mistreating the people and causing conflict so we can steal it. That is what sadly the empire does. As a Black person, that's how I got here. They stole labor from Africa. The natural resource that they stole from Africa was called labor, and that was the Black folks, and that was me. Go ahead.
other relatives, the Native Americans, the Choctaw, Chickasaws, my other relatives, not alone my African ones, this is my land. However, I was wondering why Trump always called Hillary crooked, and I found out she stole $6 billion from the Haitians. I'm like,
oh, my gosh, yeah.
You can go. I'm like, what? What? She said she's scared to death she'll be deported. She don't know where she's going to go, but she got to find somewhere else because she's scared.
Yeah, if you talk to the Haitian people, they hate the Clintons. They despise the Clintons because when the Haitians, a number of reasons, one of them is when the Haitians, there was a bad earthquake over there, and the Clintons went over there and raised like billions of dollars and built like six houses with it, like six houses with billions of dollars, and the rest disappeared, shall we say. The Haitians can't stand the Clintons.
Yeah. My God. These people, the day of judgment is coming. Let me do that now.
Look, no. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate the call. Have a wonderful day. All right. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yo, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What's happening?
Hey, I was just calling to help you out a little bit. You started your program off talking about Joe Biden and what he did and what's going on. How long has Trump been in the White House?
Too long, as far as I'm concerned. He was in there, let's say, 4 years. And what has he been in now? About 12 weeks, something like that, something crazy.
Right. And has he stopped the genocide yet?
No, are you kidding me? That's the American government is about genocide. That's what they do. So stop the genocide. He's probably looking to start another one.
Why are you still talking about Joe Biden?
I thought we were talking about Trump. You said, has he stopped the genocide? I said, no, that's what the American government does. Trump's probably looking to start his next genocide. That ain't got nothing to do with Joe Biden. That's the American government.
But that's what you should have said when you started the program, instead of saying Joe Biden this. Joe Biden's not in the White House right now. And then when Max asked you a question about Trump and his tactics about the guy that they took without...
Yes. I know what you're talking about. The guy that they deported.
You never answered Max's question.
Yes, I did.
Back to Yes, I did.
Yes. My point was this. How did we get here? I made the point that George W. Bush, Obama, these people laid the groundwork, and now here's what we get. Every president that comes in is either doing something, they're labeling somebody a terrorist, they're labeling somebody an anti-Semite, they're doing something. Every president, we got to fight the same fight that they're violating our constitutional rights. It didn't just start now. This is something that we're dealing with for those of us who, I was on the National Board of Directors for the American Civil Liberties for years, filing lawsuits, fighting all of this stuff, president after president. So I can give you a history on it. I'm just saying, this is where we are. This is not something new. This is the reality that we're living with, and it's terrible. Go ahead.
I understand, but you have to do the right way. Due process. Do you think Trump did it the wrong way or the right way?
What do you mean? People don't get no ADLs. People don't get no due process. And not only that, due process doesn't matter. It's a violation of the Constitution. If I thought the Constitution really, if we had rights other than privileges, I would say that the ruling elite really does not pay any attention to or abide by the constitutional rules. But it's a complete abomination of the law, is what I will call it.
That's what I'm saying. He's violating the law. Right away.
Okay, we're in agreement.
And how do we justify that?
There's no justification for it. That's the country we live in, brother. There's no justification for it.
There's always a way to the right way.
Well, we can continue to fight. I feel like this. Now, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Okay, I'm going to throw this at you. I am a person who sees the U.S. government as one entity. I don't like, oh, the Democrats, they're the good guys. The Republicans are the bad guys. Ooh, the Republicans are the good guys or the Democrats are the bad guys. I'm an independent and I see the government as one entity that is representing the ruling elite against the needs and wishes and best interest of the working class. Okay, so I feel like maybe there's people, if you're a Democrat, you're going to be mad that I'm not blaming everything on the Republicans or Trump. And if you're a Republican, you're going to be bad that I'm not blaming everything on the Democrats, because I see them as a single entity. Go ahead.
So do I. But my point is that it seems like you are more hateful towards the Democrats. Like everything you say, Democrats this, Democrats started this, that. The Republicans have the House and the Senate. How can they filibuster anything?
Well, here's the thing about it. The Republicans are terrible. I call them the austerity monsters. They're absolutely terrible. And they shouldn't be in power. But why are they in power? Because the Democrats were an abomination, for they ruled in a horrible way for 4 years. You let these people get in power. You should not have let these people get in power. But when you run Kamala Harris and she runs around with Liz Cheney and everybody's saying, "Why? Wait a minute, I thought you didn't like her. You're running around with the Republicans." So the Democrats with nothing but war, money all overseas, genocide, and then they lost to the Republicans, and now they go get mad at the Republicans. You knew who the Republicans were. You were supposed to do the right thing and beat them. But when they were in power, they didn't do the right thing. Now we got the Republicans in power. So I can say, why didn't you keep your word so the Republicans shouldn't even be in power? What do you think about that argument?
Well, they didn't have any word. Joe Biden was too old to even be in where he was. It was just a setup. Both of these parties are criminals. And the American people are the ones that's going to suffer through this. Even the ones that voted for Trump. You know, he's in there now. Now we have to deal with the circumstance that comes about. This is an opportunity for us to open our eyes, try to stick together, and do what we can to survive other than fighting each other. Color, we shouldn't even use the word color anymore. We should come together as people.
Well, I'm with you
100%. Black and white, we need to come together instead of saying black people need to do this. We need to come together because before you know it, we're going to have to need each other, especially if they start messing with Russia. So let's just stop it.
Yeah, let's just hope that, you know, let's hope we can get extricated from some of these wars. You know, the lunatics we got, they looking to start another war with Iran, and God only knows what happened with China. You ain't going to be able to buy nothing. The price is going to go up and they'll be happy. That, you know, they, like I said, they'll be perfectly happy to wreck our economy. Perfectly happy to wreck our economy, because every time the stock market craps out in the economy and houses are worth nothing, they buy them all up. And 5 years later, when the economy goes back up, they own everything. That's the game over and over.
They just did that when he reduced the tariffs.
They did that in 2020. Remember when COVID came and the lockdowns and the stock market crashed? Remember that?
Yeah.
And then what did they do? They went out and they bought everything up, all the business, the small businesses. 40% of all black businesses closed. But you know who didn't? Who grew? Amazon grew. Walmart grew. You know, the big companies all grew, and the small businesses, you know, as always, lost everything. And it was no bailouts for us. There's never no bailouts for the little guy. That's not happening.
I just want to say this: if you can hear my voice out there, if you got any of your family members in the service, military, just we have to come together, because if we have a war, our family members are the ones that's going to be on the front line. There's no color line for that. So let's go.
And look, we might all be fried in nuclear. We get in a war with some nuclear thing. None of us, it might not matter. But thank you very much. I appreciate the call. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, girl. This is Marvin from Fort Washington. How you doing, man?
Talk to me, Marvin. What's happening, brother?
Hey, man, I don't know where to start, man. But if you want to talk about this Gaza genocide. Let's go back to, 1911 when British invaded Palestine? And they defeated Palestinians, and they helped with the help of the U.S. to settle these Jews that came from Poland. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is nothing new. And then if you look at American foreign policy, okay, you know, the Obama administration was too busy signing off on 542 drone attacks to kill people all over the Middle East, Africa, all over with, you know, this country has 850, 900 military bases that has been bankrupt this country for a long time because they spend more money on weapons than the top 10 developing nations, man. But, you know, you have to look at American foreign policy, man. You know, and a lot of people don't study American foreign policy. Oh, well, you know, they just start studying American foreign policy under Trump. Okay. you know, my administration asked the question, how come he didn't codify Roe v. Wade? Okay. He had a chance to do it. He said it wasn't that important. Okay. Okay. He was too busy prosecuting eight whistleblowers. Okay. The most of any president in the history of this country, killing people with drones all over the world. I mean, shutting down Occupy Wall Street. Okay. Mm-hmm. And giving Saudi Arabia the biggest weapons deal in U.S. history, okay, to genocide the people in Yemen and still
Addis, overthrowing the wealthiest country in Africa, which is Libya.
Yeah,
the wealthiest country in Africa was Libya. Oh, well, who overthrew it? Obama. That's why they chose a black man. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, because they might not have been able to get away with that if it was a white president.
But you see, a lot of black people have Mr. Obama on his wall next to Malcolm X. How it's crazy the way we've been propagandized to believe things in this country and misinformed and miseducated, man. You know.
Well, they give us you know what they do, and here's what they do. And I always say, this is the indicator that you're being taken advantage of, that you're being lied to. As soon as they point to the leader of a country and say, that guy's a dictator, right? You know you're being lied to because it's an archetype. What they're saying is he's the villain. And I always say, why is it that the countries where I'm told there's a dictator, when I look at the internal polls, they're the most popular leaders? That the most popular leaders on this in this world, in their own countries, my government says they're a dictator. But why do the people all like them? Why? Because those countries are countries that won't go along with what the U.S. wants, and the U.S. wants to overthrow them. I put it like this. The U.S. is an empire, and the U.S. only sees countries in two ways, countries that we have overthrown and countries that we intend to overthrow. And you're only in one of those two categories. And if the U.S. hasn't overthrown your country yet, then they intend to overthrow it. If they don't control your country, they intend to control it. And when they start handing me the leader of X country as a dictator, I'm ruled by a dictator every 4 years. And the dictator is the ruling elite because I don't have no say. I don't have any say in who gets elected. I don't have any say in any of it. And once they get elected, every word they told me, let me throw this at you. Biden's running. Oh, you're going to get free community college, a $20 minimum wage. We're going to give you a public option for Obamacare. We got none of it. Trump comes in. I'm the peace candidate. I'm going to make peace. I'm going to save money. I'm going to, what's the other one? Lower the Pentagon budget. Every word out of Trump's mouth was a lie. Every word out of Joe Biden's mouth was a lie. So if I vote for any of those people, I don't have nobody representing me, but you're going to tell me somebody in another country is a dictator. It's a crime.
Right. But see, what Trump is doing is just a distinction of all the past administrations, okay?
Yep.
All the past administrations have deported hundreds of thousands of people from this country. All administrations have signed these crime bills that incarcerates people of color to the highest extent of the law. If you follow Right Wing Think Tanks, Heritage Foundation, and the Project for New American Century. They've been talking about cutting the federal government in half for a long time.
Yes, they have.
For a long time. And that's what they're doing right now.
Well, Clinton fired, what, 377,000 federal employees? And but my point is this. If I'm in the Senate right now, I'm fighting for them. If the Democrats in the Senate should be saying, no legislation is coming through here, nothing. We will not let any legislation come through unless you hire every one of them employees back. That's what I would do. But what are they saying? They're celebrating. They're like, well, the one good thing that Trump does is he's added another $133 billion to the war budget. And I'm supposed to think they're standing up for me? If you're a federal employee, they sure ain't standing up for you. They could care less, long as their donors get their money.
One more point, Garland. When Trump made his State of the Union speech, and then when the Democrat from Texas spoke out against him, you didn't see, when he was censored, you didn't see none of the Democrats get up and chant with him. Okay, none of them. You know why? Because they're worried about their own pockets.
Oh, guess what they did? They came in there with their blue and yellow tie. We must continue the war in Ukraine. Right, we must continue pouring billions of dollars into a war that we got no business involved in, and it's already lost. Why? Because they're donors. What about taking that money and keeping some of these federal employees? They got to come in here. And the big complaint they got, of all things to complain about Trump, I got everything to complain about Trump, but the fact that he wants to stop one war, even though he's going to start three more, I'm not complaining about anybody stopping a war. And that's the best the Democrats can do. Well, darn it, we've got to keep this war going on Russia's border because, hey, we might not get nuked. It's obscene. Go ahead. All right. We got to move. Okay, one more caller. All right, next caller. Last caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I think that I'm lucky to get on the air.
All right. Hey, what's happening?
Not too much. By the way, I'm from Upper Marlboro, not.
Oh, okay. Not Fort I thought Washington. You was from Fort
Washington. This is Barry or T-Bird, whichever.
Yes, sir. Prefer.
When I heard the first guy jumping on to defend Biden, I say that the billionaires have already won. They have their minds. I'm from Roxbury, Massachusetts, originally.
Mm-hmm.
And 50 years ago, or something of that nature, about 75, Biden was there with people who did not want white children bus. They only wanted to bus black children into white schools, not the reverse, even though in Roxbury they wanted to improve the quality of the schools. Biden, since then, when he came... and he was put in by Obama, all of a sudden the one payer for our federal health care system went out the window. Because did you notice that all the insurance companies that were sponsors of Biden, I don't think it's a coincidence that Obama gave up on the one-payer system for national health care when Biden was put in, and all these people then suddenly gave him all this money. I don't think it's a coincidence that Biden helped Clinton both get rid of the welfare system that was much better in the past than it was after Clinton, or that he lied about all sorts of things like the wage and, you know. And I don't think it's a coincidence that these things are not sponsored and not pointed out by the Democratic Party when they, when they were running against him versus the Vermont senator, who I think would have been a much...
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders, although he is a fake also.
Yep.
You know, his thing is to keep the Democrats in power. I don't think he's a socialist. I think he's a fake socialist until something big comes up. If it's a racial thing, they are not going to point it out. They're going to tell you some reason, like what did Biden say, that they have same thing that actually Trump is saying, that they have a civilized country versus a bunch of savages.
Oh, he called it the jungle. He said he didn't want his kids going to school in a racial jungle. That's what Biden said when they asked him about that. Well, thanks a lot. We got one more thing to say. Go ahead.
Right. I guess I'm just saying, I hope people will look and say, and get rid of it, we only have two choices. The choice is the billionaires versus something new. And I hope people go with the something new. And we had a choice. I'm sorry they didn't take advantage of it. And it's a shame because it would have been much better if we had gone with Jill Stein. Have a good
I'm with
one.
You. That's
Thank
who
you.
I voted for. That's what I'm, man, there's no way in the world that you're going to be involved in a genocide and ever get my vote ever again. So, all right. Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much. I want to thank my main man, Kalia. He's doing a fantastic job. And look, you know, I love my house music. So, and DJ Spin's got a nice sound out. You know, I remember back in Mundawmin Mall, walking in, seeing DJ Spin when he was like 18 years old on the 1200s. It's a true story. And I remember watching DJ Spin. And I was like, I ain't never seen nothing like, I saw a lot of good DJs. And when I watched him, I was like, I've never seen anything like it in my life. And he was like 18 years old. That joker is talented beyond belief. Here's the latest hit from DJ Spin. I'm out.